Two cases for oral argument this morning. First one we'll call up is Calvin Kennedy versus Clay County, Mississippi. Ms. Cooper.
Good morning, Chief Judge Stewart, Judge Jones, and Judge Owen. May it please the court, I am Rhonda Cooper, counsel for Calvin Kennedy. It is our position that Clay County Sheriff Eddie Scott, a decision and policy maker for Clay County, Mississippi, and the executive officer responsible for the detention and transport of Clay County detainees, imposed a detention sentence upon Calvin Kennedy that began January 23, 2013, and continued thereafter for 264 days. And this detention sentence was prolonged and unconstitutional, thus negating Sheriff Scott's defense of qualified immunity and warranting reversal of the district court's finding in favor of Sheriff Scott. Calvin Kennedy's 14th Amendment due process right to not be held for an extended period without further process was clearly established in 2013 by the United States Supreme Court's decision of Anderson versus Crichton in 1987, which this court specifically cited in Jotch versus Choctaw County, Mississippi, at page 436 of that opinion. The right at issue was clearly established and its contours sufficiently clear that any reasonable official would understand that the Constitution forbids confining criminal defendants for a prolonged period prior to bringing them before the court. I understand Your Honor's concerns about what facts will satisfy the qualified immunity standard as it relates to what constitutes a violation of rights and what is a prolonged detention with regard to same. We respectfully submit the facts of Mr. Kennedy's case will address those concerns for the court. The first query is whether there was a violation of Mr. Kennedy's clearly established constitutional right. The bench warrant issued by Circuit Court Judge Coleman in October 2012, commanded the sheriff not only to arrest and detain Mr. Kennedy, but to also bring him before the Clay County Circuit Court to answer why he had not appeared the first day of the October 2012 term. The next term of court for Clay County Circuit Court was January 2013.
So that court only has what?
Four terms, Your Honor.
Four in the calendar year?
In Clay County, Your Honor.
In the calendar year?
January, April, July, and October.
Is that because of population or number of judges, or what, do the judges just sort of rotate in
a
circuit?
They do rotate, Your Honor. There are two judges, but those four, it's the one, four counties that make up that 16th Circuit Court District, and the court has those four terms per year.
So if something occurs of consequence in between the terms, it just awaits the next term? I mean, there's
No, Your Honor, as our facts are here, Mr. Kennedy missed the October 2012 term of court, was thereafter arrested on November 9, 2012, thus he had to await the January 2013 term. And the court convened on January 23, 2013 to hear cases including Mr. Kennedy's because he had been arrested between the court terms.
Out of curiosity, how many weeks out of a term are judges there? I mean, are there just a few weeks each quarter, or?
Each of those terms, Your Honor, the court convenes the first Monday, and they remain in session for 10 days thereafter.
Just 10 days?
Just 10 days, Your Honor. And in January 2013, that date was set for January 23rd. The next term would have been April 23rd.
Is there 40 days out of 365?
Yes, Your Honor.
But it's a small county.
Oh, yes, ma'am, it is. Yes, Your Honor.
My understanding is that he was represented by counsel the entire time.
Your Honor, that is not correct, and let me suggest that Mr. Kennedy had been released pursuant to the sheriff's own appearance bond in April 2012. He did appear at the next term, July 2012, to enter his plea of guilty, to waive the arraignment, at which time he was appointed counsel from the public defender's office.
Osford.
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And it is our contention that had he been brought to court on January 23rd, 2013, he would have met with Mr. Hallford, his then-appointed public defender, to discuss the case, to discuss his innocence, and the feigned case that had brought by him Mr. Donnell Garrett, who during Mr. Kennedy's detention was also detained in the Clay County Jail. Because as the record reflects, when Judge Coleman entered the order to null pros the case against Mr. Kennedy, the court cited specifically that the state could not make its case because it could not find the material witness, Mr. Donnell Garrett, who purportedly had given a statement to the West Point Police Department back in March of 2011. But that defendant was also in the Clay County Jail along with Mr. Kennedy throughout his prolonged detention.
Good grief. Well, but Mr. Hallford remained as counsel through January, or he resigned right before January?
Well, Your Honor,
And then another fellow came in as his counsel.
Well, Your Honor, whomever the public defender was on January 23rd, 2013, had Mr. Kennedy been brought to the court, he would have met with either Mr. Hallford or Mr. Client.
Well, why?
Go ahead. That's okay.
Why does he have to be brought to court to meet with counsel? Why can't counsel go meet him?
Well, Your Honor, per the bench warrant that had been issued by Judge Coleman, it directed the sheriff to bring Mr. Kennedy before the court to appear and answer for his failure to appear on October 2012. There would have... The custom is for the sheriff to respond to the bench warrant, whether counsel is appointed or not. But in this instance, Mr. Kennedy had been appointed the public defender, and in common practice in Mississippi, the detainee will meet with the public defender in court. So the onus was on Sheriff Scott to respond to the bench warrant, to bring Mr. Kennedy before the court. By denying him his appearance before the court, he also denied him the opportunity to meet with counsel to discuss his innocence, the feigned statements that had been levied against him by Donnell Garrett, and also, Your Honor, to have the case set for the very next term, which would have been April 2013.
But is the evidence of this custom that he meets with his counsel in court, is that in the record?
No, Your Honor, that is not in the record, Your Honor, but it is understood that the sheriff, and particularly Sheriff Scott, testified that the bench warrant issued by Judge Coleman was an order from the court, cited at the record at pages 602 and 603. And I quote, "The only way that he can get out of jail on a bench warrant is he's got to go before the judge, and that's not going to happen if his attorney is not there," close quote, at page 628 of the record. Excuse me. Mr. Kennedy had counsel appointed in July 2012. Sheriff Scott further testified that he knew Judge Coleman was having court and that Mr. Kennedy's case was on the docket and that Judge Coleman was his judge. Our circuit clerk, Mr. Harrell, testified that not only had he placed Mr. Kennedy's motion to dismiss the indictment and be brought before the court and the executed return of the bench warrant, as well as placing Mr. Kennedy's name on the progress sheet and the docket call for January 2013. The circuit clerk had made preparation for Mr. Kennedy to be before the court pursuant to the duly served and executed bench warrant.
All right, the case was continued in January. How did that happen?
Because Mr. Kennedy had not been brought before the court, Your Honor. Had he been brought before the court, at a minimum, the case would have been continued to the April 2013 term. But we submit during that time, January and April of 2013, Mr. Kennedy would have had opportunity to meet with whomever the public defender was.
Who moved for a continuance?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Who moved for a continuance?
One, In December of 2012, the circuit judges reappointed the public defenders. I'm not certain who moved for the continuance, but the fact that Mr. Kennedy was not before the court.
Well, did Mr. Kennedy's lawyer move for continuance for him?
The action taken by the Your Honor, Mr. Client was substituted for Mr. Hallford for reasons unknown to counsel at this time.
When did Mr. Client become his counsel?
The docket sheet suggests that Mr. Hallford's name was scratched out and Mr. Client's name was placed. I can only suggest, Your Honor, that that would have happened sometime after January 23rd because Mr. Kennedy was not present before the court at that time.
Ordinarily, you know, frequently we get these scenarios with qualified immunity in a summary judgment context, and the argument is summary judgment shouldn't. Here there was a bench trial.
Yes, sir.
The judge denied qualified immunity. So this went to a full bench trial. So the sheriff testified, meaning all the pertinent parties testify during the bench trial?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So you cited George,
yes,
and then
sir.
We've got Jones and some other cases. So which is the best case you think is closest to yours in terms of relief you seek on qualified immunity?
Well, Your Honor, I think the Jauch standard sets forth, and certainly our case furthers that, in that what every reasonable sheriff should know relative to an unlawful and unconstitutional detention. We suggest and submit that Mr. Kennedy had clearly established rights as of 2013 through the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause, and that Sheriff Scott's conduct and failing to bring him before the court on January 23rd was not objectively reasonable. Your Honor, I understand the court raising the question about summary judgment, but Judge Davidson, as he considered the question of qualified immunity for Sheriff Scott in his second motion for summary judgment, specifically had concerns about whether the sheriff was entitled to it.
Well, exactly, and I was only not concerned about it, just noting that more often than not, when we hear these, they're in a summary judgment kind of. Here you had a full bench trial, which from your standpoint to me is a good thing because all the evidence is laid out. Judge Davidson distinguished Josh on the basis, I think, that Kennedy was represented by counsel throughout and that counsel had a number of continuances. And so as I understood him distinguishing the case, that was it. So, you know, it just sort of comes back to the question of representation of counsel and whether the delays to a great degree were attributable to the continuances as opposed to, I guess, the institutional way things are set up.
But, Your Honor, the pivotal day in question was January 23rd, the day that the court had term, the day that the sheriff had every opportunity to bring Mr. Kennedy before the court. That was the determinative and dispositive day. On that day, Mr. Kennedy would have been before Judge Coleman himself. He would have had opportunity to further assert his innocence per the motion to dismiss the indictment. He would have had an opportunity to meet with counsel, and the trial would have been set for the April 2013 term. And had that matter been brought before the court on January 23rd, set for April 2013, that would have reduced his stay in the Clay County Jail by 180 days. He had to remain.
Well, it was continued until April of 2013, was my understanding, and then Mr. Client asked for another continuance.
But, Your Honor, why not, Your Honor, the sheriff failed to provide Mr. Kennedy the opportunity to be present on the day that he was scheduled be there.
I understand, and I understand what you're saying, and I think this is all very unfortunate series of mistakes, but you were saying that he should have been tried on April, in April of 2013, and what I'm saying, I understand the record to show, is that but for his counsel's moving for continuance, he would have been set for trial on in April.
And there would have been also, Your Honor, the opportunity to further discuss his innocence and the feigned case and allegations by Donnell Garrett, who was also detained in the Clay County Jail. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, you've reserved your rebuttal time, so you'll have a chance to come back up.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Huskisson? Yes.
May it please the court. And initially, I wanted to address a couple of things. The bench warrant at issue, Judge Coleman testified clearly at trial, and of course, Sheriff Scott agreed that the bench warrant, the language in the bench warrant talks about instanter, but it does not, and Judge Coleman does not require a sheriff to produce somebody as soon as they're arrested. What he requires is that once they're arrested, that they're available for court when
we
called.
We got all that, and she's sitting there telling us that sure. He wasn't transported to the court in January. What happened in January?
Your Honor, in January, once the case was on docket, Mr. Kennedy's case was on the docket, he was represented by public defender Mark Clyde. Mr. Clyde had been appointed on January 1, 2013. Mr. Clyde was there for the entire 2 weeks of the term. Judge Coleman set a motion date for January 23rd. I think that's the date Ms. Cooper's just talking about. On that date, Kennedy's case was discussed by Mr. Clyde with Judge Coleman, and that is Mr. Clyde's testimony is at, in the record, 868, 869, 871, and 72. And Mr. Clyde was not prepared to go forward. And
that wasn't in your brief, was it? Was that in your brief?
The particular testimony from Mr. Clyde,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
You didn't explain, I don't think your brief explained
yeah,
what happened in January.
I think what I did, if I remember correctly, Your Honor, is just reference those pages from Mr. Clyde.
Because there's a reference that there was some confusion in getting his file.
That's correct, Your Honor. And there was. There's no question about that. Mr. Hosford represented him initially, was appointed July 2012.
How are these, do these public defenders, do regular attorneys cycle in and out as public defenders?
Generally, Your Honor, they're appointed by the judges. They don't necessarily cycle out unless there's some issues with the ones that are appointed. There was nothing in the record about why Mr. Hosford was replaced by Mr. Clyde.
Okay, but it's not as if they have an office of public defenders. He's the public defender for Clay County, I guess.
Correct, Your Honor. There are actually two of them.
Okay.
Mr. Clyde was, initially it was Mr. Hosford for Mr. Kennedy's case, and then Mr. Clyde took over in January. And there's communication, and Mr. Kennedy talked at trial about his efforts to communicate with his client, with his attorney. He was aware, you know, that Mr. Hosford was his attorney initially, and then in several court filings, he copies Mr. Clyde and indicates, you know, him as his attorney throughout. And so he was represented throughout, not commenting on how well represented, but he was represented and
so
had an opportunity.
Mr. Clyde moved for continuance?
It's unclear how it happened. He was in with the judge and said, I don't know enough about this case, and it was just moved to April. There's no order in the court file about the moving the case to April.
But it
the
wasn't
sheriff had no the sheriff
didn't
had no
say, if my client was here, I'd be ready.
No.
Did he say?
There's nothing in the record that indicates that. Mr. Clyde just says I discussed it with Judge Coleman. This is a discussion between a public defender and a judge. The sheriff has nothing to do with that discussion. What the sheriff's role and what he testified to clearly was that if the court or counsel wants to hear from Mr. Kennedy, he will have him available with him. But the jail is 5 minutes from the court, and he's ready to have him there.
How many people are in the jail at any given time?
Your Honor, it's 90 to 140. And what that, as part of the record, the docket sheet, the progress sheets, it's, we've got one or two pages from each of those, but it's like page 5 or 6, so it's a big docket. And it's got numerous cases on there. And the sheriff waits to hear who the court wants to hear from on any particular day. And that's what he was doing here, and waiting to hear from the court on whether Mr. Kennedy was represented by counsel, so he had a voice in that courtroom, and that's what prompted the continuance. And then again in April, Mr. Clyde recognized, I think this is in the brief, he recognized a conflict of interest because he had set the initial bond, I think, as municipal court judge for Mr. Kennedy, and they appointed a special prosecutor, Mr. Voller, who's from Oktibbeha County, a neighboring county, and they continued it again. Because Mr. Voller,
public defender, is his.
Yes, Your Honor. And so Mr. Voller took over, moved to continue again, and it was just a process where it was just continued because of folks that were public defenders that were getting involved in the case were not prepared to go forward. In looking and just reviewing some of what happened here, the reason Mr. Kennedy was in jail is because he failed to appear. When Judge Coleman issued that bench warrant, Mr. Kennedy's counsel represented that he had not been able to get in touch with Mr. Kennedy. And so that's what prompted the bench warrant on October 9, 2012. And then he was arrested eventually down in Rankin County and brought up to Clay County mid-November, November 9, I believe.
Your brief did say that counsel could move to have the case transferred to a nearby county, right, to get a quicker hearing, or is that possible?
I think what I speak to there, and it's a point that Ms. Cooper made, she indicated that they wait till the next term before they can be heard. That's not what the record shows. The record and evidence indicates that if counsel, for example, when Mr. Kennedy didn't appear, he's arrested, he's over in jail on November 9, he's, by his own testimony, he's trying to get in touch with counsel, back and forth with efforts. No, there's no indication that he actually talked with them. But counsel has an opportunity, if he wants Judge Coleman to hear a motion to reset that bail, he can file a motion, and Judge Coleman will hear that outside of Clay County it's four different counties. We've got Oktibbeha, Clay, Lowndes, and Knoxville. And those kind of motions are common in the sense that if Mr. Kennedy and his counsel want to present something to the Judge Coleman about why he was not there and why his bond should be reset, they're able to do that.
And the sheriff will transport him to the other county?
The sheriff will do whatever the court asks him to do, or whatever, if requested by counsel.
Did Judge Coleman testify? Judge Coleman testified in the bench trial, right?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, did he testify to that effect of what you just said with respect to the potential to transfer?
Yeah, what his testimony was that in order for Mr. Kennedy to come before him after serious deal when you don't show up for trial, and so in order for Mr. Kennedy to come before him after he didn't show up for his trial and his bond was revoked, essentially, is that his counsel has to file a motion and get a hearing before him, and he talked about that in his testimony. Your Honors, one of the big points I think here, Mr. Hosford, who initially represented the court, that he could not get contact to him. That's why his bond was revoked and a bench warrant was issued. Throughout the process at the Clay County jail, Mr. Kennedy was aware, he was represented by counsel. There are motions that he filed with the court. These are not with Sheriff Scott. They're with the court that copy Mark Clyde, the district attorney, and Judge Coleman. And the primary, as you look through those motions and those requests for relief, is that I'm innocent, that these are false charges, the normal things you would see. He wrote one letter and may have written others. He talked about writing others, but there's one letter in the record, only one, and I believe it was in January of 2013. And in that letter, it's to Sheriff Scott. He does not talk about, you know, not being able to get in touch with counsel. Counsel won't work with me. I can't get counsel to set hearings. I can't get before the court. He talks about his innocence and the problems that he's having, or the concerns he has with the detective that arrested him, or that filed the charges and arrested him. And another important point, I think, for the purposes of this, the bench warrant's the important thing, whether the sheriff complied with what Judge Coleman wanted him to do. But the charges were West Point charges. They weren't Clay County charges. Sheriff Scott had nothing to do with bringing the charges against Mr. Kennedy. It was a City of West Point detective. And that's what he was, that's what Mr. Kennedy was complaining to Sheriff Scott about, and that I'm innocent, these charges are bogus. Sheriff Scott, once the return was filed and Kennedy's case was on that January docket, nothing had been done in terms of getting Kennedy before Judge Coleman from November 9 to January 23 by his counsel or anyone else, and there was that time frame. Then his case was on the docket in the normal course, because that's the next term of court, as Ms. Cooper said.
Was there any testimony about what happened in January, or is this just from a docket notation? Who testified?
What happened in January at the court?
Yes.
It was just the only record evidence of that, and Your Honor, is from Mark Clyde, where he indicates that he discussed the case with Judge Coleman and was, you know, didn't have the file, was not ready to go forward. And so that resulted in the continuance to the April term.
If Mr. Kennedy had showed up in October, would his case have been tried at that time?
He had showed up in October, yes, Your Honor. October 2012?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Your Honor. The state had witnesses subpoenaed. They were ready to go forward, and that was why it was such a significant deal. Another important point, I think, Your Honor, is Judge Coleman testified in terms of once your bond is revoked for not appearing for your trial, that it's got to be some pretty serious reason that you didn't show up. And he was, as a hypothetical, we asked him at trial if what Mr. Kennedy said was somebody told him he didn't have to be there. And Judge Coleman said, I would not have set bond again for him, even if he had have told me that was the reason, because that's not sufficient to not show up for trial.
Did he say his lawyer told him that, or just somebody?
He said, I think, well, the way I remember it, Your Honor, is it was Detective Birchfield, the West Point detective, that he's got issues with throughout this process. He's concerned with the way Detective Birchfield handled it, and that's primarily when you look at the filings with the court from Kennedy. He filed a lot of things. He would reference pro se and then reference his counsel. You know, my appointed counsel, Mark Clyde, would be in all of his filings, and so. You know, that was a primary issue for Judge Davidson, as you see throughout his opinion, that once, even before he failed to appear for trial, he was arrested, he was represented by counsel. Initially Hosford, and then Mark Clyde in January of 2013, and then moved to Austin.
Represented is a strong word.
Sure. Yeah, and Your Honor, a point that Ms. Cooper made was that by not bringing Kennedy to court, he couldn't meet with his counsel. That's just not, you can meet with your counsel, can call and meet with you anytime they want. Sheriff Scott never inhibited or prohibited Kennedy from meeting with his counsel. And Kennedy testified in regard to Mark Clyde. Mr. Clyde told, the way I understand it from Kennedy's testimony, and it's in the record, that the day before the April trial date, when the term was starting, he told him he had a conflict and couldn't represent him. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, without question.
So when the case was set in October 2012, you said, had he shown up then, everything was ready to go?
Ready to go, Your Honor, right. That's correct.
I thought I read somewhere in some later scenarios, there were some additional continuances of two terms because of some additional investigation or some kind of pretrial issues. So were those based on motions by defense counsel, or were there things where the case wasn't really ready?
They were based on motions for continuance by Mr. Waller. Those continuances in
so that was after
April.
Client was out of the case and the new lawyer has to, client, as I understand, figured out later he had a conflict because he had been the municipal court judge who set the initial bail for, which is sort of strange, the initial bail in the case. So then Waller, was he the last lawyer?
He was the last one. Your Honor, in April, what Mr. Clyde recognized the conflict, he requested to withdraw his counsel. That motion was granted in the case, and then Waller was appointed and it continued to allow Waller opportunity to get up to speed on the case. That's the way it flowed through the process. What the bottom line is for is Sheriff Scott and qualified immunity.
Let me ask you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Does this kind of series of very unfortunate actions occur very often? Do fellows often hang around in the jail there for 6 to 9 months?
Not that we're aware of, Your Honor. This is the first, this is an unfortunate circumstance that happened for various reasons, but we believe that Sheriff Scott did not, acted in accordance with what Judge Coleman wanted him to do. In other words, arresting pursuant to the bench warrant and having Mr. Kennedy available for trial.
Well, does the public defender frequently ask to go to another county to move things along so that their clients aren't sitting there for 3 months at a time?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar whether that happens a lot. I think what I would say to that, based on what Judge Coleman's testimony was, because he talked about having to deal with this only one or two times since he took over on the bench in 2010, was that in the normal course, a defendant shows up for trial. So he doesn't have to deal with this often. It's an unusual situation in that regard, for that reason as well. What Sheriff Scott, in this case, he did as Judge Coleman has testified clearly, that as he was requested, this is not a situation of arraignment or bail. Kennedy had already had bond set and didn't show up, and it was going to need bond reset. The sheriff had testified, which is a little different from Choctaw County. The sheriff has authority to set bond initially outside of term. So there's not a situation where somebody gets arrested, they come into Clay County and they cannot have bond set. If it's outside of term, the sheriff has authority and does set bond routinely. This is a situation where bond was revoked for failing to show up at trial. Sheriff Scott, according to Judge Coleman, complied with everything that he was supposed to do. The other important aspect in terms of due process is the process was available, and that is have his attorney file a motion and get him before the judge. And that never happened. And Sheriff Scott sat ready and willing to take him wherever he was requested to take him. Mr. Kennedy's case, it was considered in January 23. We talked about that already very briefly with Clyde saying, I don't know anything about the case, I don't have the file yet, whatever he told Judge Coleman, it's in the record. And then so it was continued from there to April term, again, represented by counsel. Clyde said he had a conflict at that point. It was moved to Waller. Waller was appointed and so on and so on. At all of those points, counsel was there on behalf of Mr. Kennedy in the courtroom. So he had representation, albeit not what he wanted, but somebody was there on his behalf in the courtroom. And Mr. Kennedy acknowledged his counsel in all of his filings, where he would say Mr. Clyde, he would copy Mr. Clyde on anything he filed with the court. We think the evidence showed, and Judge Davidson was correct in finding that Sheriff Scott did not act with objectively unreasonable here, and we would ask that you affirm the decision of Judge Davidson.
All right, thank you, sir. Or you have rebuttal.
This matter is about the bench warrant that Sheriff Scott failed to act pursuant to. Mr. Kennedy did not appear before the court October 2012. Judge Coleman directed per the bench warrant that Mr. Kennedy be brought before the court to answer, to appear, and to answer for his failure to appear. Sheriff Scott's failure to act pursuant to the bench warrant was a blatant disregard of his statute.
What was the evidence at trial? Was there evidence at trial that if the sheriff had brought Mr. Kennedy to the courtroom, it would have gone forward?
He would have answered, Your Honor, per the bench warrant. And Sheriff...
And what would have happened? If the record says that his own lawyer said, I'm not ready to go forward, what evidence countered that?
Mr. Kennedy had filed his own motion to appear before the court that was duly filed in his record. That motion would have been heard. It would have been argued either by Mr. Kennedy.
What's the evidence of that?
That is in the record, Your Honor, that he filed that motion.
What's the evidence that would have been heard when his lawyer is telling the judge, I'm not prepared to go forward?
Your Honor, I would suggest that at a minimum, Mr. Kennedy would have answered to the court for himself. The sheriff...
What was the evidence at trial about this?
Well, the sheriff, he would have been there, Your Honor. He was not there, and he never appeared one day before Judge Coleman to answer pursuant to the bench warrant. The sheriff is not relieved of his statutory duties to act pursuant to the bench warrant.
Even if the defendant's client is telling the judge, I'm not ready to proceed.
Your Honor, we submit that that's all after the fact. That's all speculative. That's testimony at trial in November 2017. The critical day for the matter to be addressed was January 2013. That's testimony that was given after the fact.
That's his lawyer's testimony.
But, Your Honor, had Mr. Kennedy been there January 2013, the matter could very well have been resolved.
Who testified to that fact?
Mr. Kennedy, because he had filed the motion that even Judge Davidson acknowledged he had well within his rights to do.
What evidence was there that... what I'm hearing is the sheriff said, I'll take him over there whenever the lawyers and the judge tell me to.
The judge told him in that bench warrant to bring him, Your Honor.
And the sheriff was waiting that day to bring him if the judge and the lawyer said bring him, and the lawyer said don't bring him. I'm not ready to proceed.
Your Honor, there's no testimony that anyone told the sheriff not to bring him. The sheriff did not bring him pursuant to that warrant.
What is the evidence at trial that had he been brought there, something would have happened?
Your Honor, the testimony is clear that at a minimum, the sheriff is responding to his statutory duties to act pursuant to the bench warrant. Had he been there, a number of things could have taken place, Your Honor, but he was never brought there.
What's the testimony about what would have happened? We're at trial here. We've had a trial.
Mr. Kennedy testified at trial that he would have been able to protest his innocence had he been brought before the court on January 2013. And that was what Sheriff Scott was directed to do, and he failed to do that. He failed to abide by his statutory duties, and to detain Mr. Kennedy for 264 days was a blatant disregard of Mr. Kennedy's 14th Amendment right to due process.
He sued his counsel?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
He sued his counsel for... Have you sued his counsel?
The public defender?
Yes.
No, Your Honor. No. We brought the claim against the county, who is liable for Sheriff Scott's actions because he is a final policy decision maker for Clay County, Mississippi, as the official responsible for detention and transport. That is a statutory duty set out by Mississippi Code Section 19-25-35. And based on his failure to act pursuant to that bench warrant, it is our contention that he violated Mr. Kennedy's due process rights to the 14th Amendment, and that violation was not objectively reasonable. He is not entitled to qualified immunity, and the lower court's decision should respectfully be reversed. Thank you.
Mr. Cooper, thank you for your argument. Thank you, Mr. Huskisson. The case will be submitted. We'll decide it. All right, we'll call up the next case, Otis Grant v. Harris County.